How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio. The list goes on and on. The most listened to daily pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. It is Sunday here. We're going to be taking a lot of open line phone calls here today. Text messages, emails. No WWE pay-per-views this weekend. No UFC pay-per-views this weekend. No UFC fight nights. Very, very slow weekend for news, but that obviously is about to change because on Monday we have got Raw. Of course, Raw leading into the WWE TLC pay-per-view. And, of course, next weekend is also the UFC Conor McGregor-Jose Aldo show, one of the big fights of the year. Maybe one of the bigger shows in UFC history. We can talk about that on the show today. Got a whole bunch of news, including a brand new survey from WWE. They've been putting out these surveys of late. And now we've got a new one asking WWE fans about their thoughts on WWE as compared to NXT. Maybe this will be good news. Maybe this will be bad news. I'm going to read you some of the questions that they've got here on this survey. We can talk about that on the show here today, as well as John Cena's potential return date or lack of a return date. He's already had one potential return date canceled. We'll talk about his reality show, WrestleMania, and Raw tickets. We've also got information on SmackDown from this past Friday night. I watched the show. We can talk about the show itself. We can talk about the ratings of the show. Whatever is on your mind. Studio line, 425-488-0525. Toll free. You can give us a call at 844-411-5411. And send us your text messages to 425-780-7566. Back in a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We will take your phone calls here today. We'll take your emails, everything, and talk the news. And I want to kick it off with, obviously, a very important note here today. Jim Ross is alive. Apparently, somebody hacked his Twitter and announced that he was dead. And he's not. Do people have nothing better to do with their lives?
No, they don't, actually.
Shocking to me. So yeah, he's fine, everybody. I think by now most people are well aware. I think the hacking was very, very early this morning. But Jim Ross is fine, so that obviously is very good news. Mike, not a lot of stuff going on this weekend in terms of WWE, UFC. There was a Bellator show on Friday. There were the New Japan G1 Tag League Tournament, I guess, qualifying matches. We know the finals now, essentially. Finals will take place on December 9th. It is Togi Makabe and Tomoaki Hanma, who has been in the news of late, I might add, facing Tetsuya Naito and Evil. Who's winning this tournament?
Me, personally, I would go with Tetsuya Naito and Evil. I like that team. I think it establishes them further. The Evil is Watanabe, who has been in Ring of Honor over the last year, and he's now joined this heel group of Tetsuya Naito, who did lose a member internationally and worldwide with La Sombra signing with WWE. So Evil is in there, and forget about any situation with Tomoaki Hanma. I just think that Naito and Evil, to help establish them further, and I'm more interested in seeing them as a tag team that's willing to go after the tag team titles, and would make perfect sense for me that way. So that's kind of the direction I hope they go.
December 9th, everybody, NJPWWorld.com if you want to watch it online. 999 yen. A little bit over $8 a month, the New Japan version of the WWE Network. You can watch that show. And coming up this weekend is the big Aldo McGregor show. They're finally going to fight unless something goes horribly wrong in like the next 2 days, which, God forbid, hopefully
that
does not happen. Hey, listen, I like to play with fire because I believe in reverse bad luck.
reverse psychology on this?
Reverse knock on wood. Yeah, if I say one of these guys is certainly going to get hurt in the next couple of days, that to me guarantees it's not going to happen.
You pulled out your no-leaf clover and your rabbit's, what would that be for a rabbit?
I don't know. What are you talking about?
Well, all the things that make you your reverse luck right there. So no four-leaf clover, a zero-leaf clover. You're thinking that none of these things could happen. You're trying to turn everything around. But look, it doesn't matter. These guys will be in big bubbles before UFC 194 this weekend. I cannot believe that they could possibly let anything happen to these guys.
Who's winning this fight?
I don't know, but I'm still taking Aldo, which has got nothing really to do with Conor McGregor. It's giving Jose Aldo the credit that his career and he deserves as a champion. Maybe much like Holly Holm and Ronda Rousey, McGregor is his kryptonite. I don't know. We don't know. We just don't know. But I think a lot of people, it's not about not jumping on the Conor McGregor hype train. It's about not giving Aldo enough credit as a champion. And I will still stick with the same thing I had from before, which was until he gets beat, and he could very well get beat this weekend by McGregor, but until he gets dusted away, I'll go with Aldo.
Can you imagine if in the course of a 3-week period, the two biggest draws in all of UFC, Ronda Rousey and Conor McGregor, both lost?
Well, here's the thing. Now, I don't know if maybe expectations have gotten too high or anything like that, but realistically, as long as McGregor does not get embarrassed, probably like Ronda Rousey did, I guess that would be a good example. Unless that happens, you can still get a lot of mileage out of Conor McGregor. There's still fights to be made with him, so I don't know if perception-wise it's going to be as bad as people think. I think the general public, you know, the general sports fan who only follows it a little bit and sees that Rousey got knocked out and says, you know, now she's done. There's nothing you can really do with those folks anyway. So if that happens to McGregor, I mean, realistically, there's nothing we can do about it. And the reality is, I mean, with Faber, with another fight with Mendez, with a rematch against Aldo if it's close, or if it is a quote-unquote lucky punch or whatever it is, you still have options when it comes to him. Where I think you have to worry is if he gets like two or three in a row, especially, you know, two in a row, forget about three in a row, where he gets embarrassed quickly or something like that, then that's when the tide is really going to turn as far as people wanting to hear him shut up as opposed to hearing him talk.
Well, with Ronda, especially with Ronda, I'm not sure about Conor, but with Ronda, her losing guaranteed a gigantic, gigantic buy rate for next year. If Aldo goes in there and beats McGregor on Saturday, I don't think that guarantees 1 million buys for a rematch. I just don't see the interest being there for a rematch like there's interest there for a Ronda Rousey and a Holly Holm. Maybe there is, but in both cases, the first loss is not going to kill them, especially with Ronda. The first loss, Dana White believes the loss made her an even bigger star than ever, and I think it's very clear that when they fight the second time, that second fight is going to do significantly bigger and significantly more buys, significantly more revenue than the first fight. Now, will it be the same for Aldo and McGregor if McGregor loses? I mean, I'm not saying that McGregor will no longer be a draw. I just don't know if there's the interest in that rematch that there would be for Ronda Rousey and Holly Holm.
Oh, not
and if
close.
He does lose again, if they both lose, like if McGregor loses this week, and so they both lost within a span of 3 weeks, and we go into 2016 and they do rematches and they both lose again, I mean, we can go from seeing this huge high of 2015 for UFC to a very, very steep drop.
It's very, of course, possible with that. It's not about the rematch when it comes to Aldo and McGregor that we'd want to see it again if McGregor gets beat. In fact, we probably shouldn't want to see it again if he gets beat. But You still have those fights with Mendez and with Uriah Faber. So that's where, that's the salve on that wound. Even though you don't have that natural rematch like you do with Holm and Ronda Rousey, what you do have is his mouth. What you do have is the popularity of Uriah Faber. What you have is a good dynamic when it comes to Mendez. So I still would not think it's you're there to push the panic button, and certainly in either case. But again, if he goes out and loses, you know, especially by a knockout to somebody like Uriah Faber or something like that, then people are really going to be going, okay, you can shut up now and take your tail between your legs and go back to Ireland, because you know people have a lot of time to listen to somebody run their mouth if they think they're a winner, if they're the hot big thing right now. But once that stops happening and you don't back it up, then we got problems. But also, too, Conor McGregor still to this point has not given us a reason to believe in him backing up his chutzpah.
I still think that if he loses this weekend, I don't think that McGregor coming off a loss facing Chad Mendez is all that big a fight. It's not going to do badly, but it's not going to do like a million buys or anything like that. And I think that a Faber fight would be a pretty big fight, because if you've been watching Ultimate Fighter, I mean, these two guys are great. And I think that if you devoted some time to showing the world that isn't watching Ultimate Fighter, these two guys going back and forth, I think that could be a pretty big fight. But McGregor, this guy's got to win. I think he's got to win and win and win to continue to draw huge. Two losses in a row, a loss to Aldo this weekend. I don't know. I think it hurts him more than Ronda Rousey's loss. Although, again, if she loses to Holly Holm a second time, I don't think it'll matter, because, quite frankly, if she loses to Holly Holm again, I think she's done. I think she'd retire.
I agree with that, too. And I think with McGregor, too, you know, we want him to keep winning, because if he keeps winning, he can keep talking. If he keeps talking, you know, whether guys like it or not, it's good for everybody.
Back in a moment, phone calls, emails, text messages, and more. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Back here on the show, Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. If you want to give us a call, studio line 425-488-0525, toll free 844-411-5411. And text messages, 425-780-7566. Well, let's go to the toll-free line. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, Brian. It's Bryce from Peoria.
Yes, Bryce.
We're wrapping up, you know, the year of WWE. What do you think about the year entirety? What are you going to remember about 2015 WWE?
It sucked.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Like, what else can you remember about 2015?
They had some good matches at, like, you know, Royal Rumble and stuff to begin the year. I mean,
it
sucked. Kind of cool. There was,
yeah.
And Brian.
Yes.
Any chance that 2016 is any worse?
Huh, that's a good question.
Of course it is. You know, there's always a chance it could be worse.
Well, it could, but here's the analogy that I've been making here for a while. There was that year that UFC just had one injury after another. And I remember the time Dave kept mentioning it was bad luck. And I was like, there's no guarantee this is bad luck. This may be the new. I mean, these guys are training very, very hard. There's a million reasons guys could go down. I mean, there's no guarantee this is a year of bad luck. Well, you know what? It turned out it was just a year of bad luck. They had a great 2015. So there's a lot of guys hurt. There were a lot of storylines that were ruined because of guys being hurt. Daniel Bryan got hurt. That I know people didn't like the Rusev storyline, but trust me, if the Rusev storyline would have at least played out, it probably would have been better than what it ended up being when every single person involved got hurt or filmed a movie except Summer Rae. You have John Cena out. You've got Randy Orton out. You've got all of these guys out. It could be that 2015 was a bad luck year, and that 2016, their luck will turn around and things will be great. That is possible.
You know what's also possible? Randy Orton gets married, who's married now and has got the injuries, and goes, you know what, I missed WrestleMania anyway. I don't feel like coming back.
Hey, he may not be back next year anyway.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that could happen.
There are bigger problems, look, though, than Randy Orton not being around.
But every year we wonder, can it get worse? Can the build to WrestleMania get worse? Can the post-WrestleMania malaise get worse? And then somehow, if you take Daniel Bryan out of the mix, for the most part, that's happened. And we always get to it going, well, maybe they can pull it together by the time WrestleMania comes. And now we're in a position where, you know, who God knows who they're going to try to bring back or what they're going to try to put together for this year's WrestleMania. So, yeah, there are no guarantees they could get better or it could get worse. But there's no guarantees it could get better either outside of just the hope that it's going to get better. You know, SmackDown beginning the year live helps that, or moving to USA at least helps that, in that there's going to have to be some focus put onto that show. But does 5 hours of first run programming, which they already have it now, but there's going to be a renewed effort on both of them. Is that still the best way to go? Of course it's not going to be. They still have to fight that battle, and it's not going to get any better. Is Vince McMahon going to step down as far as having creative eyes and having ideas that he wants to see put out there? No, it's not. So what makes you think anything's really going to change?
Hope.
Hope.
Yeah. You always have to have hope, Mike.
Mr. Positivity.
I am. Studio line, you're on the air. What's up?
This is Jim from Virginia.
Yes, Jim.
Okay, huge women's wrestling news.
Huge?
Yes, Kimberly is the Chikara Grand Champion.
She's about this, boss?
Grand? I did not hear that she was the Grand Champion.
Yeah, she cashed in some kind of opportunity. I don't know if it was a briefcase or whatever. Hella Wicked had already wrestled, I believe, in a triple threat match and retained the title, but she came in and cashed it, and she's made history. She's the first ever female Grand Champion in Chikara.
Holy smokes, I had not gotten my Chikara results yet, although I did hear that our main man, Jervis Cottonbelly, his team actually beat the Devastation Corporation. Max Smashmaster on the show Friday. Gonna be very, very upset the next time he's on here. I guess
under the circumstances, though, I mean, you can't really call it Jervis's team. You got to call it Kimberly's team.
Well, it is now.
Crown and Court crew.
It is now.
You know, that's major, because not even Sarah Del Rey, when she was in Chikara, she never was a grand champion.
That's true.
I will say this, though. Dev Corp has got a little bit of an out. As the ring, I have heard, I didn't see the show, but I heard it may have been gimmicked by Crown and Court to the point where our boy Max Smashmaster blew his knee out. The messed it up there, and I'll find out exactly what it was, but he was hurt. He was injured during the match.
A legitimate injury? I hope not.
Yeah, I mean, it couldn't have been by his own hand, so it had to be something that was done by somebody evil in that corporation. But he dislocated his knee, but still soldiered on. But unfortunately, that will weaken a man.
One other thing, guys. Any more details on the passing of Hack Myers?
I only know that former ECW star Hack Myers passed away. He was undergoing, I'd heard he was going to have brain surgery, and apparently there were complications, and he passed away 42 years old. Very much sucks.
Yes, definitely. We'll send out our condolences.
That's
all right. Y'all have a good evening now.
All right. Thank you very much for the call, Jim.
It sucked. He's being a Baltimore guy, and you know, somebody who came up. You know, Axel Rotten had his indie promotions, the Wrestling Independent Network, and things like that. We had him on the show. We talked about it a little bit, but Hack Myers, you know, he kind of predates what a lot of people think of when they think of ECW. But the Shaw of ECW, and was a very memorable person and name, if you remember seeing him in the early days.
Let's go to the toll-free line. You're on the air. Who is this, and where are you calling from?
Hey, Brian. This is John from Memphis. How are you doing today?
Yes. What's up?
I got a couple questions. What do you think is the plan for WWE for next year? Since it's towards the end of the year,
what's the plan? Hold on a second, John. What do you mean, what's the plan? You think they have a plan? I don't even know if they have a plan for Raw tomorrow.
Well, I know. I mean, do you think they're going to actually, I know this sounds stupid for me to ask a silly question, trying to think like a wrestling fan, but I think, do you think they're going to actually bring out more talent and try to get rid of some of the dead, well, pretty much half the roster, which is pretty much dead weight, bring up like...
Is this a rhetorical question, John, or do you actually have a real question?
Oh, I actually do have a real question. The New Japan show, the Tokyo Dome, any more news about Hama and Ishii, the thing with Hama? What's the deal with that thing?
Unless there's been news in the last couple of days, the news is he's still in the tournament. He's in the finals of the tournament. And the last I heard was just him threatening to file a lawsuit. But I haven't heard anything otherwise. Mike?
No, I haven't either. And, you know, Makabe and Hama could easily win the thing and go on and challenge for the tag. And even possibly win the tag titles at the Dome Show. I mean, that is not out of the realm of possibility. To me, if you're not doing anything independently with Shibata and Goto, I think, frankly, they should be the team, you know, at the beginning of the year that kind of begins the year with the belts. But it could easily be Makabe and Hanma. And the thing is, I don't know, you know, the culture is completely different, obviously, in Japan. I don't know how they view things. I don't know if these allegations, how much weight there is to them. Other than they're heavy on paper. I mean, that's the one thing we definitely know, but Hama has come out quick to try to defend himself. I don't know where any of this stands. I guess we will know where all of this stuff stands because I am sure that New Japan does not want to be in a situation next year where their tag team champion or one of their most important people has even got the risk of being arrested and possibly losing, you know, this case that he has with his girlfriend. So I don't know. I really, really don't. And time's just going to have to tell and see how this thing plays out and how much truth there is to these allegations because they are pretty nasty. So.
Well, I've been a big fan of Hama since his old days in Big Japan. That's the reason why I'm concerned about that. Oh, one more thing, Brian and Mr. Simple B. I have one more question for you. This surveys and stuff. Why do you think WWE is trying to do this survey? Does it sound like they're just trying to appease to the fans, or you think they just trying to do something? That's the reason why I asked about that, Brian and Mr. And Brian and Michael.
Thank you very much for the call. I don't know why they're doing these surveys. These surveys, the one that they sent out a couple of days ago asking about Raw viewing habits was so stupid. It was just a stupid survey. And I'll read this WWE NXT survey maybe after the break right here, but I don't know what the point of it is. I honest to God don't know. Like they don't know what people don't like about the show. Really? I think they do. Like what are they gonna do with these survey results? I don't have any idea why we are getting these surveys.
You pull them out when you need them to. It's like we talked about with
what difference does it make who watches Raw with you?
Because when it comes time for the investor conference or some time where you're pressed on questions, you try to pull things out of your rear end to spin the story.
What, the Raw is watched by people and their sisters?
And that's exactly what they're doing right now, Brian. That's the only reason you would collect information
cares?
Like this when you already have the results. I know.
Let's go to a break. Back in a moment. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Calls, emails, text messages, studio line 425-488-0525. Toll free 844-411-5411. And text messages to 425-780-7566. So this survey, we have a new one here. Fresh, hot off the presses, this survey comparing WWE and NXT, and it's wacky. They're asking which, they've got like a list of words, and they want to know fans.
Give me this survey. Run through this survey for me. I want to answer these questions.
That's what I'm doing right now.
All right.
They say, fans, we're going to tell you all these words. And to you, which of them describe NXT, and which of them describe the main roster?
I hope booty is one of them.
You want to hear these words?
Yes.
Like, when you hear these words, just tell me, what difference does it make whether any of these apply to any roster? Okay, which of these words apply to NXT, which apply to the main roster, or both? Energy. Authentic. Energy. Hardcore. Fantastical. Unique. Hokey. Excitement. Dangerous. Wrestling. PG rated. Shocking. Quality. Technique. Wholesome. Fun. Unpredictable. In-ring action driven, which apparently is one word. Social. Action. Nostalgic. Mindless. Giving promos. Intense. Passion. Old school. Imaginative. Safe. Success. Family friendly. Potential. Story driven. Younger. Cutting edge. Real. Simple. Fast paced. Mainstream. Traditional. And gritty.
Wow. So you didn't say, like, feces or disgusting or boring or craptastic, which means I would probably, if I was applying any of those, many of them would be to NXT.
Let me ask a question again. What difference would it make whether any of these words were applied to any roster?
Well, Mr. Alvarez, when pushed on what people think about the drop in the ratings of WWE, we can say that our fan base is very energized and insert five or six buzzwords here in the last survey we did, and things are looking up.
They then asked, this is a good one, does WWE or NXT do a better or equal job at the following? Seeing good rivalries and matchups. Feeling part of a large group of passionate fans. Getting an appropriate amount of surprises. Apparently that's important. Being amazed. Being amused. Being entertained. Having a great show to watch with family. Having a great show to watch with friends. Seeing a wide variety of divas. Where's Jim when we need him? Seeing enough of my favorite divas. Watching athletic moves and maneuvers. Seeing the quality of in-ring wrestling I want.
Wait a second. Is this a WWE survey, or is this a study put out?
No, this is a WWE survey.
By, like, somebody with, you know, you cannot answer this if you've seen NXT. It is impossible to answer these questions with any other answer than NXT, which makes me, my first thing to this would be then, so what is, you know, how is this going to affect NXT as far as, because
I expect Ryan Ward to be fired. I swear everything. To God, that when I saw this survey, I thought, they're going to fire this guy.
Either that, or again, it's going to be part of something for marketing or something like that, because you cannot answer any of that without having it be NXT, so...
I have more.
Wow.
Hearing compelling dialogue/promos. Getting the right mix of unique characters. Seeing a wide variety of superstars. Watching interesting stories play out. Seeing enough of my favorite superstars. Oh, that's the last one. Seeing enough of my favorite superstars. What happens if that comes back?
I'll never see enough of Alexa Bliss.
It's not going to happen. But what happens if that comes back and the answers are all NXT by every survey recipient? What do you think happens to Ryan Ward and all of the folks in NXT? You think they're going to be called up and they're going to fire 27 Raw writers and have one guy or three guys write the show? Of course not.
You're right, and I know what you're saying, but again, you have to do if you're WWE then is you just take this stuff and then you apply it to NXT as needed when it comes to any talking points or any things like that. I mean, you don't have to listen. Do they have to listen to anybody who's, you know, would have answered NXT to those things for years anyway when it comes to WWE? So what does it really matter? I mean, you just take that stuff and you use it as talking points when you need to, and you apply it to where you need to. I mean, that's all that is to me. I mean, because nothing.
What a waste of time.
But everything they do is a waste of time if you look at it that way, because unless Vince like something, or unless, you know, forget Hunter and Steph, but look, we all hear this a million times. They write for one guy. We hear writers leave, and we listen to people that have worked there leave, and it's like, it's hard to crack through. One of the reasons why is because of Vince. So unless Vince changes his ways, and unless Vince, Stephanie, and Hunter, who have, you know, a majority of the control in that company creatively, unless that changes, anything you say or do is completely worthless anyway. That's why there's so much faith and hope that has been applied to Triple H, whether he deserves it or not, because he's not Vince. And the hope is, if something happens to Vince, yes, it would be terrible for the stock price, all of those sorts of things, but they will be able to actually run their vision mostly in the way they would want it to run, which we have been given the impression Triple H is different than Vince. So unless that happens, there is nothing they can say. They can put all the surveys they want. They can give you a Scantron sheet with it, but go ahead and fill C all the way down the middle on that thing. It does not matter whatsoever what the results are or what the results are, which is Vince will just ball it up and throw it away.
Let's go to the studio line. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
Oh, yes, Ryan.
I have a question about Raw. Something interesting I read. I heard that the former owner of Vicious Outcast Wrestling was working as a production runner. So my question is, I thought those roles were preserved for people like Harvey Lippleman, so like indie wrestling promoters.
So what? The head of Vicious Outcast Wrestling did such a good job. He could be a gopher, basically.
What
he's a production
what
runner.
Are you asking? Like, he's too big a star to be a runner?
My question is, I thought, like, people like Harvey Whippleman.
What do you mean, people like Harvey Whippleman? What does that mean, people like Harvey Whippleman?
People like Downtown Bruno?
Retired talent, like wrestlers that have, like, worked for WWE in the past, you know, they give them a job, you know, it's goodwill to the company.
I see. And so this man is not qualified to be a runner?
Well, it's sort of weird because he's had, like, TNA world title matches on his shows before, so it's weird that they'd be working with this guy.
Huh. Man, can't say I've ever thought. I've never given 2 seconds of thought to that, Ryan, before right now.
Adam Pearce has had great matches. Jimmy Jacobs has had great matches. Sarah Del Rey has had great matches. Robbie Brookside has had great matches. William Regal has had great matches. Doesn't mean that they're going to run the company, but it does mean that they could probably have jobs. And as long as your paycheck clears, as long as they're taking care of you, as long as you get the benefits and perks that come along with working a job, hey, go on with it. I don't care what the title is. Go ahead and get yours. But just because you're a former wrestler of any renown does not mean that you're going to be in a any other position other than what you are and what they offer you. And just getting your foot in the door is sometimes the best way to go.
Any other compelling questions today, Ryan?
Well, that didn't really answer my question. I want to know, like, when they do, like, these cities, do they
I answered your question.
Cities?
Shut up.
Wow. What? Go ahead, Ryan.
Well, my question was basically, so like when they come to Los Angeles, do they hire like the owner of like WG to like run errands?
They get whoever's. Okay, now I'm letting him go.
Somebody double super kick him.
It's just a guy. It's just a guy they need to run. I don't even understand. He's right. I don't understand his question. They could have Mike do it if they wanted to. They could have you do it, Ryan. They could have anybody do it. My dander is up today because of the survey, and Ryan calls asking about Vicious Outcast Wrestling running scripts or something.
Can you imagine them showing up?
You should have run that script right out the door. Maybe Raw would have been better.
So Joey Ryan is, I don't know. Go ahead. By the way, I guess a lot of people are very upset over the he and Danchoco Dino and him and Dino losing the test of strength to Joey Ryan's...
manhood.
Yes, manhood. His lower extremities there. I have seen DDT before. I've seen Danchoco Dino matches. I've seen Joey Ryan matches, and that is exactly what I would expect out of them. I don't know why there's all of this hullabaloo over it, other than I guess if you were unaware of every player involved in this thing and just saw it, I can see you, if you were an older wrestler, not being very thrilled and seeing it being another dagger in the business. But so many of those have been thrown, I don't know how you could be that upset over it, really.
Studio line, you're on the air.
Mike, I just want to say you just made my day. I'm an absolute
And that was the funniest thing I've heard in 2015. You're the man.
Wow. About DDT or Ryan?
I presume Ryan.
No.
What's on your mind?
But hey, love the show, guys. Have a good Sunday.
Oh, thanks. That guy called just to celebrate.
Give me affirmation. It is about time. They're tired of hearing you rant and rave and all that nonsense. They are calling up just to let me know that they're about me. And I appreciate that. I appreciate
Mike,
all of our listeners out there.
This had nothing to do with you, other than you are the one that blew up on Ryan today, unlike me. The other day when I had to hang up on him.
You get all the blame because you give him these opportunities. You could have come off at the first one. You knew nothing good was going to happen after that.
Mike, hope. I always hope something good will come of Ryan's call. Sometimes he asks good questions. To the phones, you're on the air.
Hey, it's Chris in Las Vegas.
Yes, Chris.
Speaking of the survey things, it kind of feels like, just by what you described, that the WWE is like a little, I don't know, that it's like they know what the answer is, but they wanted somebody else to tell them, and they're afraid that NXT is the better show, and what they're trying to figure out is, why are these people reacting? What is it that brings them to their shows and gets them so excited? Because if you watch Raw, the fans aren't excited. And it's kind of like, I know the answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway. And they're just sort of reconfirming all this useless information that...
But look at the options they're giving, okay? When they ask, well, what do you like about NXT? Okay, so say someone goes to the survey and they just go, energy, shocking, imaginative, simple, traditional. And that's what they respond in the search. So what? What are they going to do with that?
Because perfect, that's how you frame that, because when you go and report that to somebody, the person that reporting is going, our fans think NXT is just so creative and so buzzword. I mean, again, they're only doing this to collect a bunch of words that they can spin into whenever and whatever they need it to, which is, I guess, okay, really a lot of what PR is anyway.
But here's the problem with that theory. So have you ever seen those things where they go, we've got more social media followers than ESPN?
Sure.
You know they say that? They're lying. So why not just make up a bunch of buzzwords about NXT when somebody asks you about the show? Why do a survey? Just make it up. They make everything up.
The people really answered, Brian.
let's go to a break. Chris, stand by. Back in a moment. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. Brian Alvarez and Mike Semper, Vivi here, and let's go back to Chris in Las Vegas. Chris, go ahead.
Well, no, yeah, I was going to say the buzzwords you say, that doesn't make any sense anyway. But it's the same. Didn't WCW do a survey in like 1999? I remember doing the survey, and they're asking, like,
Wait.
Would you like to
you
see
did it?
More wrestling? Yeah, I did the survey. It was,
wow,
like, on their website.
How about that?
And
I never talked to someone who actually filled it out.
Like, would you like to see things like more wrestling? And I was like, yes, I would like to see more wrestling. And you get, like, to the end, and it's like, you see the results, and it's like, you want to see more Hulk Hogan or whatever it was. And it was like, I didn't vote for any of that, and I doubt anybody else did in the survey voted for that.
Wait a second. Hold on a minute. Hold on. So they asked you a bunch of questions, and you filled out the answers, and then at the end, it gave a conclusion, which was nothing resembling the answers you gave?
This is like one of those
Facebook
things.
You would look like the tally results. Like, who would you like to see
I
in the main
see.
Event? You know, Hogan, Kidman, da-da-da. And Hogan would be at the top. And
well, hell of a lot more than Kidman.
Huh?
Go on.
Well, at the time, they were trying to push him.
Well, they kind of were, but they didn't really try to push him. I mean, they had him do a lame match with Hogan, and he won, but it was a disaster. They weren't really trying to push Kidman, and if they were, they didn't know what they were doing.
And the other thing I wanted to mention is that it's not going to get better until you eliminate many, many hours of programming. And if you think about it, back in when we were growing up, you had Raw on Monday, which was an hour. You had Superstars, was an hour. Then maybe I got to watch Sunday for their show on Sunday.
Well, Chris, we got to head to a break, but I know exactly what you're talking about. We'll talk about this later on during the show. The time allotted to watching wrestling, which I've been saying for a long time, is the biggest issue with Raw. Back in a moment with more Hour 2, Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live, here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline, USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio. The list goes on and on, the most listened to daily pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. Here for another hour, the studio line, 425-488-0525. That is 425-488-0525. Toll free, 844-411-5411. Text messages, 425-780-7566. And come back from the break, we got to talk more about this survey, because I have more to say. I'm not done yet, Mike, with my thoughts on this survey here that we discussed in the last hour. But I do have a couple of notes here during this short segment. The Raw that is taking place in Dallas the day after WrestleMania already sold out. I don't know how many WrestleMania tickets are gone already, but it's tens of thousands of tickets. And so as we mention every year, no matter what anybody thinks about this product right now, this Raw show, this SmackDown show, I got things that I could say about SmackDown and the League of Nations. But WrestleMania is going to do gigantic business. Probably be the biggest WrestleMania of all time, quite frankly. So that's good news for them. SmackDown was up, although I guess that's not saying a whole hell of a lot since last week it was Thanksgiving. If they hadn't been up, it would be a
show.
The Thanksgiving show?
Well, I saw your tweets, and it really reaffirmed me not watching the show when you said Aces and Eights gave you better memories.
Aces and Eights gave me better memories as far as, like, the top heel group, the League of Nations. But you know what? I'm going to tell you something about the SmackDown show. The SmackDown main event was excellent, and I'm going to tell you why after the break. Something I have not seen in this company in years, and I'm not making this up. It was great. We'll talk about it after the break. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. So we were talking before the break about the SmackDown show on Thursday night. And yes, first off, the League of Nations. Come out of the beginning of the show, and it's Sheamus. And he's got Alberto Del Rio and Wade Barrett and Rusev. And Sheamus is just acting like such a geek. He's such a clown. He's all wacky. He's the champion. And then the New Day come out, and they're over the top. And I love the New Day, but as a main event act, it turns the whole show into a joke. And they're out there, all seven of them, and they're dancing. They're practically singing. And I just thought, is there ever in the history of wrestling ever been a main event top heel group that was a bigger collection of geeks than these guys? And I'm talking about the individual guys. I love Rusev. I love Wade Barrett. Sheamus is a lot better when he's not being Ronald McDonald. The New Day amuses me. They're all very, very talented. Alberto Del Rio has got a great tan. But we're talking about the top heel group in the promotion. The baddest men on the roster. And they're all clowns. And so last night, everybody's tweeting me, well, what about Aces and Eights? No, I'm afraid Aces and Eights were, in fact, more intimidating than these geeks. And people just rattled off all of these top heel groups, many of which, by the way, weren't even top heel groups. I'm talking the top heels. Maybe the problem is that people can't even comprehend what I'm talking about here. These are the top bad guys in the whole company. If this were Star Wars, this is Darth Vader and his crew. Sheamus, Wade Barrett, Rusev, Alberto Del Rio, and the New Day. That's your top heels in the whole company. There's nobody above them. Nothing ever compares to this that I can think of in wrestling history.
And it's amazing, too. You look at those names on a piece of paper, it's epic. It's like, man, I mean, Alberto Del Rio and the New Day, I mean, all of these guys, Rusev, how great is this? But it's the execution of it. It's about what they're given to work with. It's about the positions they've been in before this time. It's why you have to take things seriously. You need to have some stars. You need to have some guys that lose, too. But you need to take care of these guys better. You know, weeks ago, you know, and I'm just, obviously this didn't happen, or it may have happened for God knows all I can remember, but let's just say 6 weeks ago, Rusev and Dolph Ziggler, you know, they went 50-50 back and forth. Then all of a sudden, you know, somebody gets hurt and you need Rusev. Well, how can anybody take him seriously because you weren't taking care of him? There are some things that worked in the 80s in wrestling that actually still matter today because they should matter in wrestling. They should matter in sports. You work your way up and you take care of the guys you're supposed to take care of because you never know when you're going to need them. And all these goofy storylines and stupid things that they do, they don't think about the future. They book for right now. Sometimes they book for just hours ahead of them. You know, when it comes to script changes and things like that, there needs to be a longer term vision. They need to slow down and have a better plan. And the hope is, and it's not going to happen, but the hope is,
who has hope in this business?
I know that when John Cena went out and this happened and that happened and the other happened, well, maybe we'd be able to sit back and kind of reset things. They have reset them, but I have no faith going forward that they're going to treat title seriously. They're going to have angles that don't necessarily go longer, but have better payoffs because they're more intense. And it doesn't mean the violence is ratcheted up or you get away from PG. It just means you've put more thought and more effort into them and take care of these guys. Take care of Wade Barrett. Imagine when it comes to Wade Barrett, nobody believes, I don't think out there, that he could beat Brock Lesnar in a real fight because of Brock Wrestling's, you know, capabilities as a wrestler. But if you were to ever see Wade Barrett, you could believe him getting into a fist fight with Brock Lesnar and coming out of it probably in a better position than, say, Kofi Kingston having a fight with a Brock Lesnar. You know he's a tough guy. You know he's a badass guy. Why has he been a clown? Why, when you knew you made the mistake with Sheamus where he ran away from the Nexus and Wade Barrett and he looked like a geek when he held the title the first time, which ended up with him being buried by Triple H and, you know, before he had to go and have a reset on his career? Because you did that, you'd think you learned from that example, but they didn't. He's been a joke ever since, and now he's your world champion because circumstances forced you into needing him to be that way. Maybe they didn't. Maybe they had this plan if Rollins went out or not. But still, look at Rollins. As entertaining as he's been, as great as he was, there are very few guys to be put in the position he was in, to be so young in his career on the WWE roster and then be told, go out there and blow 20 minutes, go out there and deal with Jon Stewart for 20 minutes, go out and do this and that for 20 minutes, don't wrestle, you know, but do these other things. Because when you wrestle, we're going to have the rug pulled out from under you and all that athletic talent, you're going to win cheaply every single time.
Do you know,
these are just ridiculous things that just, they know the answer, much like those surveys, and they just don't do them.
Do you know who got attacked by a fan last night?
I saw that, yes. Alberto Del Rio in Bayamon.
That's right. Alberto Del Rio, everybody, was attacked by a fan. He got so much heat as a heel that he got attacked by a fan. Now, granted, you can
Puerto
say
trying to
things,
get that comeuppance on Mexico for that Cotto Canelo fight.
You can say things in Puerto Rico that you're not going to be able to say on WWE television.
That's true.
And I don't endorse it. I'm not like, oh, you should have heard what this guy. Congrats to this guy. I'm not saying that.
Crowd.
The point I'm trying to make is the guy got too much freedom. But the point is he got some freedom and he got attacked. Can you imagine any fan caring enough about Alberto Del Rio and WWE to attack him? It'd never happen in a million years. Now, again, I'm not saying that Alberto should be able to go out there and make racial remarks or anything like that. I mean, the lame stuff they're doing right now kind of sort of has racial overtones, and still nobody cares one bit because it sucks. But the point is, these are guys who could be menacing, intimidating top heels, but they're singing and dancing with the New Day, and they're total geeks. Now, let me say something positive. SmackDown last night, they ended up doing a 4-on-1 match with all of the United Nations, or whatever the hell they're called, and Roman Reigns. The League of Nations and Roman Reigns. A four-on-one handicap match. Now, granted, SmackDown was SmackDown, so there was a lot of women and children and families there. So Roman Reigns was already going to get a better reaction. But they do this match. It's a four-on-one match. And it's at one point, Roman Reigns is running the ropes, and Wade Barrett catches his foot and trips him. And he's ejected by the referee. Now, first off, why you would be ejected by the referee from a tag match for doing something you see in every single tag match we've ever seen, I don't know. But forget about it. He gets sent out. And I don't even know why they did that, because four-on-one odds are way better to overcome than three-on-one odds. But they got rid of the guy anyway. So it's now three-on-one. And they beat on Roman, and they pound on him, and they pummel him, and they give him a royal beating. And finally, Roman Reigns makes his huge comeback. And it's the League of Nations. And they're the top heel group, even though they're geeks. And so the company doesn't want to beat any of them yet. So what they do is, Roman runs wild. He takes out Rusev. He takes out Alberto Del Rio. And he takes out Sheamus on the outside. And the referee's counting the entire time. And Roman Reigns is just running roughshod on three men outside the ring. And he finally lays out, like, every time a heel tries to throw him into the steps, he reverses and the heel gets thrown into the steps. Heel tries to throw him into the table, he reverses, throws the heel into the table. Finally, he lays out Sheamus, the referee's going, 8, 9! And Roman Reigns flies into the ring, and he wins via count out. And the place goes nuts. They stood up and they cheered and they clapped and they were going crazy because a man won via count out. I haven't seen that in years. A count out is normally a booed finish because people think they've been screwed. They loved that finish. That was a good SmackDown main event. Back in a moment with calls and more. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. Back here on the show, we got a lot of people on the lines. Got some text messages I have to go through. Let's head to the phone. Studio line, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Oh, hi. This is Paul from Barbersville.
Yes, Paul.
And I have been catching up on the results of last night's Chikara Top Banana card.
Great.
In Eastern Pennsylvania.
I was looking for these.
Yes, there was an amazing story going throughout this year's season of Chikara, and I think,
well, hold on. Before we get to that, how's Max Smashmaster? Is he okay?
I have not heard for sure, but there are some pretty interesting GIFs on the internet of Princess Kimberly suplexing all three members of the Devastation Corporation like this sparkly, blue-haired, girly version of Brock Lesnar.
So what
you're saying is you may have to put your... That's the word I'm looking for here.
What are you trying to say?
Reality to the side, because
suspend our disbelief.
Suspending disbelief, yes. Thank you very much, because those men are not small.
No, they're not. Oh. But did he suffer an injury, like a knee injury?
That I have not heard for sure.
I'm telling you, you got the scoops here. It's the truth.
But here's the deal. Over the course of this Challenge of the Immortals tournament, the crowning court were the team for the first half of the tournament that were in last place. Basically, you had Princess Kimberly, who used to be a valet, teaming up with our fine friend Jervis Cottonbelly, who is entirely too nice for this business, and Los Ice Creams, who are geeks. And basically, midway through this tournament, she gives them a pep talk. Jervis toughens up a bit. The Ice Creams start believing in themselves. And they win and win and win for months. They get to the finals. They face off with Devastation Corporation, and Princess Kimberly goes berserk. She suplexes everybody, and the team wins. And what is the prize after all of this this month and month-long tournament? Princess Kimberly, being the captain of the crowning court, gets a golden opportunity, which is the Chikara version of the Money in the Bank.
So the team captain gets that opportunity.
Well, apparently each team member gets an opportunity, so I'm presuming that the Ice Creams are going to go after the tag team titles, And Jervis, this is going to be a puzzling one because I don't see him going after the Young Lions Cup at the age of 120. And given what happens later in the card, I don't see him going after the world title.
Well, Coronado, golden bow tie.
We don't know that because what if Jervis Cottonbelly ends up becoming a dastardly villain and he does go after that world title?
Ooh, I had not considered that. So anyway, later in the card, Princess Kimberly cashes in her golden opportunity on Hallowicked, puts him in the Chikara special, makes him tap out, and basically in one night, well, it's over the course, but Princess Kimberly, after this month and month-long tournament, is now a main eventer and a monster. And compare what they've done with their version of Money in the Bank to what the WWE has done with their version.
I was having fun. Now you have to bring that up?
well, yes. I mean, Sheamus did nothing before winning Money in the Bank, did nothing after winning Money in the Bank, and now he's their world champ. And I would say that the Crown and Court is a much, much more believable stable than the United Nations. I'm sorry, League of Nations.
Yes.
United Nations is another Chikara stable, so...
That's right, they are.
And the other part of the storyline, too, that was pointed out to me on Twitter and also in our forum as well, too, was, and Max Smashmaster talked about this on our show, about the DQ for kicking too much rear end. Basically, that happened where in the lead up to this, they had a spot that was secured in the tournament, and they kind of, you know, got their eye off the prize and got lazy and did what heels do, which was try to coast in on their laurels, and they were very arrogant about things. And that was the other part of this storyline, too, where these, again, it's amazing when you actually just, you know, think about what you're doing and plan for it and throw some layers behind it, what you can do.
Right. And also, earlier in the tournament, a Dasher's Dugout was in the lead, but his tag team partner, Mr. Touchdown, who used to be a Rudo, started getting nervous. He put a foreign object in Dasher Hatfield's shoulder pad, and as a result, Dasher found out they were cheating, and they forfeited. So
they forfeited.
He's very much a like Jervis, a gentleman, and could not stomach the thought of winning through cheating.
Rules and regulations matter in Chikara, and so does honor, for God's sakes.
Man, the heel in me is very disappointed, however. You ain't ever going to get ahead doing that.
Hey, you're going to have to talk to Dasher on that.
I'll have to get him on the show sometime. Maybe next time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, listen, I want to thank you very much for the Chikara update there. ChikaraPro.com, everybody, is the website. Chikaratopia, if you want to go up and watch a bunch of shows. I don't think this one will be up there for a little while, but a whole bunch of great stuff up at Chikaratopia.com. If you want to give us a call today, the studio line, 425-488-0525, toll free, 844-411-5411, and text messages to 425-780-7566. Let's see what's in the text message bin here. Guy says, I answer all of the WWE survey questions with, your product sucks. That's not very constructive. Reminds me, by the way, I'm going back to this survey here. So, you remember how your theory was they're just looking for buzzwords?
Well, they're looking, again, they're just, you can take this and you can apply it to your own press release needs, PR needs.
Okay. The problem is, this survey specifically says... Specifically, that they're comparing the two products.
Okay, but...
Comparing.
You can always change what that means. Is it WWE looking for it? Is it somebody in creative looking for it? Or is it somebody with eyes on marketing or establishing NXT further that goes, hey, look at this established product, the number one show on cable TV for years and years, and look what else we've got right here. A lot of people don't know about it, but look what our fans are saying about NXT. And they don't have to actually, when they release this stuff, have it be the comparison with WWE. You just forget about that altogether, and you go, look at the words that they're talking about when it comes to this product.
Like PG-rated?
Hey, Well, look, you got to have some. It's like the when you're doing the lie detector test and you have some of those, what do they call those questions in there, the control questions. You need to have a couple of things like that in there just to not make it look too obvious.
PG rated. You know, the thing, the reason I bring that up is because, okay, let's say that the survey is in their minds, they're thinking, okay, well, what do fans like about WWE and what do they like about NXT and what do they dislike? Where would you rank PG rated? Like, I think most people would call in the show if they said, well, you know, I think that Raw is PG rated. I'm going to put that for WWE. Is WWE looking at like that as a positive because they want to be? What is that even? What difference does it make? I just don't get this. I read about the other survey, right? Where's my other survey? Their survey was even more stupid.
Other survey too. Again, they've added Smoky Mountain, Mid-Atlantic, Mid-South, plenty of things to the WWE network over the years, and it's amazing. Just can you imagine with the talent roster they have now, with the way interviews are done now, as far as the guys being more comfortable in front of cameras, people growing up in front of cameras all the time now, all of those advantages that you have today, but just apply them into the, some of the storylines of the past, how much better things can be, and that's really all you need to do.
How do you watch Raw? It's a great survey question. You don't know.
With my eyes closed or watching football.
You don't get DVR and Hulu numbers and ratings. What do you mean, how do you watch Raw? Do you check to see which superstars will be appearing?
Where would you do that? On the show with no preview.
What are some reasons you may fast forward or change the channel? What, are they going to change things?
Well, let's see, because the product sucks, right? We already got the answer to that one.
Rate these metrics. This was the one that actually made me the most upset. Rate these metrics.
Mookie probably had an erection hearing that one, but good.
Whether it was entertaining, provided unexpected moments, variety of superstars, whether superstars are athletic. Do you like matches? Do you like angles? Do you like video packages? Do you like interviews? How can you answer that question?
You
know
like
what? I like matches
hair
with Brock Lesnar. I don't like matches with, I don't want to throw out anybody's name, but
do
you know what I'm talking about? I would love to see an angle where Brock Lesnar comes out and destroys half the roster. Would I like to see an angle where the New Day comes out with the League of Nations and they all dance on the ramp? No. So am I supposed to answer yes, I like angles, or no? What a stupid question. What a stupid survey. It's I'm moving on here.
Well, it's a very broad question. So you go, you know, our fans say that they like angles. Our fans say that they like, again, whatever the hell it is, you know? Yeah, these are like, again, these are numbers, basically, that you can make do whatever you want them to do. They're just, they're those type of stats. They just happen to be in word form.
Dante here says, WrestleMania 31 was a positive in 2015. You considered it one of the best, comparing it to Mania 17. You're right. I did say that. But the question was, what do you think of the year as a whole? And the year sucked. Back in a moment. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. Back here on the show, Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Phone number, studio line, 425-488-0525. Toll free, 844-411-5411. Text messages, 425-780-7566. I do have some bad news. It is true, I can now confirm, Mike. Max Smashmaster dislocated his knee.
You give me no credit for my investigative.
You didn't tell me.
I am an investigative journalist here, or at least a journalist of high repute, for God's sake.
I kept learned, asking you if it was legit and you were being vague.
I told you that it was. I feel as offended as Bobby Heenan would when he would be questioned by Gorilla Monsoon on Primetime Wrestling. I am very upset, and I'm calling my assistant Betty right now to try to get me off of this show.
Well, I don't know if you know this or not, but he finished the match.
Of course he did. He's a man, for God's sakes.
He did a moonsault.
Did you expect anything else?
Did a moonsault, dislocated his knee. This was very early in the match.
See, maybe we have because we have been hyping him up so much, and for very good reason. And he talked about some of his weight loss and getting more fit and things like that. Maybe we have encouraged his spryness a little bit too much to be trying.
I didn't
moonsaults at an ample size there.
I did a moonsault early, dislocated his knee, finished the whole match, and I guess has to go to the doctor this week and find out if there is any further damage, which hopefully there's not. I've never dislocated my knee before, but there's all sorts of ligaments down there, and you don't want to stretch, tear, any of that. So hopefully he ends up all right, but that's the update on Max Smashmaster there.
Have you ever gotten hurt doing a moonsault?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I hurt my knee during doing the moonsault, but I didn't seriously damage it. I strained my MCL, but I did not dislocate my knee.
Is that the worst injury you can get doing a moonsault, or is it like, you know, do you crush your package sometimes doing it? I mean, what could be the worst injury off of a moonsault? Because, you know,
are you landing on the other guy with your knee?
Well, that's, I guess, yeah, it ended, who was it? Was it Kiwi? Was that Sonny Siaki? It was something like that, where he ended up landing on his face and basically breaking his face, which was a awful thing, which ended his career early. But they've made it look, moonsaults look so easy. Like, anytime they show training now, and they started this with Tough Enough way back when it was on MTV, where they showed guys taking moonsaults, and it's like, it seems like, you know, you would figure that on your, for those who are unaware, on like maybe your fifth day of wrestling school, now they're going to teach you the moonsault on top of the big blue pad, and you just have to get over your fear of going backwards.
Yeah, that's
like,
the key.
This is a routine thing, but still.
That's the key. They do it onto the big blue pad. Any idiot can do a moonsault onto a big blue pad. It's when you got to do it onto another human being with no pad. That's when we're talking about possible injuries.
Mm.
Yeah, I smashed my... I didn't even know what I did. I was a gymnast. I did back layouts all the time, but I did one moonsault, and I smashed my knee on the canvas and tweaked my MCL and could barely walk for like a week, but...
What's the pro wrestling equivalent of the Iron Cross? Like, because that is like incredibly hard to do, and it's always amazing when you see
shooting it. Star.
Okay, so that's the Holy Grail kind of.
I can't think of one move in wrestling that would be harder than a shooting star press. Even like the space flying tiger drop or the topes or any of that stuff. That's the one where you've got to rotate backwards while going forwards. It's very difficult. I guess a full twisting shooting star press would probably be harder.
I remember when Kidman, I think it was Kidman with that, and then I think it was Too Cold Scorpio with the 450. It was just like not being able physically to ever even think about doing things like that. It just is amazing. And then you see what, like, fast forward to today, what Ricochet does and the timing every single night, night after night, what the Dragon Gate guys do over in Japan, you know, and of course they drill that to death, but still, when you do it over and over at the speed they do it at, and guys don't seem to be, you know, they're not getting, you know, badly injured. I mean, they're getting hurt every night doing stuff like that, but they're not getting killed doing it, which the average person would. It's amazing the kind of athletes these guys are now.
I got a text message from somebody who sent me his answer. He actually filled out the WWE Fan Council survey, and the question was, please give a brief description of what would make you more interested in watching Raw. Be as specific as possible. I'll read as much as he's got here before the screenshot cut off. Better matches, better narrative focus and cohesion, open the show with less talking, like way less, stop rehashing stuff that just happened on SmackDown, start giving performers purpose, more squash matches, more title matches, more good surprises, Sheamus being world champion would not qualify as a good surprise, less transparency in terms of who is being pushed and who isn't, knock off the 50-50 booking, change the format, refresh the look of the shows, try a different, that's as far as he got. Can't disagree with much.
No. Will they listen?
I don't know about the more title matches, however, because I think that I don't mind the idea of saving your title matches for pay-per-views on the network, and you don't get title matches on the free show. You can occasionally do a title match, but I think if you give a title match on every free show, you water down the title matches on the pay-per-view. So I don't know if I would do that one. And my issue isn't even rehashing SmackDown. My issue is when I, as a fan, watch SmackDown, and what happens on SmackDown doesn't matter when I watch Raw or vice versa. That makes me not want to watch the show.
Yeah, and I know it's easy to say they should broad brush. They need to work on Raw first, and they have a minimal amount of time before they really need to get SmackDown going, but they need to do that as well, too. And just the title matches, again, make them mean more. Make Raw mean more, and then it will mean more. Then maybe people will be more apt to watch SmackDown, and if that means something, maybe they may even be more apt to watch Main Event or one of the other shows, whatever the other shows that are on, instead of just skipping it all the time. Things just in general need to mean more. It can't always be passed away. You know, Kofi Kingston, and I know for a lot of people it was just a throwaway line, but the country music thing about, and that's not just my character saying that, we all love Kofi Kingston. We all love the New Day. We all think they're talented. But that one was just a reminder of a kick in the, you know, and it was, I know people would defend it and say, well, it was supposed to be that way. But yeah, it's a reminder of how nothing on this whole stupid show for 3 hours matters in the end. And anything that does matter, it's all right. I can just skip it and watch Hulu, or even better, just skip it and watch one of the other things that they have. Watch the 30-second or minute-long recap of Raw and not miss a thing by missing any of the shows. And that, I mean, my God, after the pay-per-view, after the, and times are different, but after last Sunday or two Sundays ago, that Raw on Monday, football or not, should have had far more interest, and it just doesn't. And it's just pathetic.
All I know is I know people are up in arms about that character comment, but listen to me. I don't want to say that's the least of our worries, but that's way up there. The fact that the New Day is on the show in 6 different segments and doing horrendous commentary, making light of a match, that's a way bigger issue than one throwaway line.
Making fun of the fact that their commentary stinks, but I'm saying, but it's just kind of the face of it. I mean, it really is the face of it. They're taking, you know, great guys and they've beat it into the ground like they've beaten everything else into the ground. They've bastardized them the same way they've bastardized everything else. It's very disappointing because, again, the talent level, I'm not saying it's better than the 80s, because those guys had years and years and years to work, you know, to get to the points that they were at in the 80s and 90s. And they came from a different era and things just kind of came together for the boom period in the 80s and the Attitude Era in the 90s. Just things, good things happened. This is a little bit different, but with the athleticism, with the awareness that these guys have of being on camera, you know, the overall presentation of how they come, if you let them be themselves and you actually treat that and take care of it and nurture it, can you imagine where we'd be right now?
Studio line, you're on the air.
It's John from Arkansas. I was just thinking, hearing these surveys, the big thing is, like what they talked about, everything having purpose and there being across the platform in each brand of the promotion, cohesion and things making sense. And I'm with you guys. I like the old NWA Crockett style. Don't give them every big major title match right away. You have one that you specifically concentrate on for the shows, and then save all the other stuff for the big pay-per-views. It's not that hard, but this stupid, inane comedy and just dogging out the importance of what you need to be doing, this is why your ratings are bad. You're not doing things properly. Somebody needs to walk up and slap Vince McMahon behind the back of the head and say, wake up, man. We're failing at this. Where is the Vince McMahon who wanted to fight the system and go out and do...
He's 70.
He did a show with Steve Austin where he was reminding everybody that he's 70 and that times have changed, and maybe he hasn't changed completely along with them. That's where he is, and that's where they're at.
Law in charge.
What was that?
I said, then freaking step down, Vince. If you know you can't do the job anymore, step down.
Well, he thinks he still can do the job, and he'll never do that. He'll never do that. And Hunter and Stephanie probably have more now than ever. But, I mean, just sometimes, no matter how good you are at something, sometimes you need new eyes in there. No matter what it is that you do, you know, you get departmentalized, you get stale. You just sometimes you need some other people in there to spark you. It doesn't mean knock him out of his spot. But it means, you know, unfortunately, he's not going to do it. He's way too set in his ways. But they need new eyeballs. They just, that's what you need, and you need to just be refreshed, and that's okay to have in business. Most of the really successful ones do that.
Got a text message here. This was a question that was asked a couple of days ago. This person says, I saw a clip on YouTube from Chikara where Bryce Remsburg counted to two. The wrestler said it was three, so Bryce rang the bell and ended the match.
Yes,
so there is the answer to that question.
Yeah, we got that one. So, yeah, and of all places, Bryce Remsburg.
I should have known it would be Chikara.
That's really.
All right, to the studio line. You're on the air. What's up?
Hey, Brian, Mike, it's Danny Hernandez.
Yes, Danny.
One thing I like, it wasn't from the survey you're talking about today, but you're talking about the WWE survey last week about if they publicized what matches or what came on a certain time.
Yes. What if we advertised?
Right. Let's say, like, at 8:05, you know, Central Time, we have, you know, Roman Reigns versus so-and-so. So a lot of radio stations, they publicize their segments, so listeners that are driving can tune in. So I think it might increase ratings because people know, oh, at 9:05, you know, oh, Kevin Owens appears. I think that's a good idea. They should get on there.
Yeah, I got a better idea, though. Don't say 9:05. Just say in the 9 o'clock, in the first hour. That way you have people watching, and you don't know when it's going to be. And you can switch it up every week so that you assure that people will tune in for the entire hour on the weeks that you do it at the very end of the 9 o'clock hour. You could say in hour one, the main event is going to be Kevin Owens defending the Intercontinental title. In hour two, John Cena makes his big return. And in hour three, whatever your main event is going to be. I can't even bring myself to mention Sheamus. But you could very easily do something like that. But then you've got to stick to a plan, which appears to be a problem.
You know what I hope is part of the survey? Did y'all come here to see WCW, or did you come to see the NWO?
I know my answer. I came here to see WCW NWA World Championship Wrestling at 6:05, which is available on the WWE Network right now, which we'll be watching tonight. And for those of you asking, I don't know if it's November 28th. I can't remember the exact date, but it's the show that is reviewing Starrcade 1985, with all sorts of clips from 85 Starrcade. Vinny and I are going to be reviewing that show tonight on the network, as well as Ring of Honor and more. And we'll be back in just a moment. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. I just tweeted out a video here if you want to see Kimberly, the first woman ever to become the Chikara Grand Champion, only the fourth Grand Champion in history. Brock Lesnaring, all of the Devastation Corporation, that is up on my Twitter right now, at Brian Alvarez, if you want to check that out. Mike is up at Semper Vivi, Sports Byline, at Sports Byline USA. This show, if you missed any of it, is going to be replaying Monday morning. We replay every Monday morning at 7 Pacific, 10 Eastern. We're live every day, Monday through Friday, at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. And we have replays every day at 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern, including Saturdays. There's both a 10 a.m. Pacific and a 5 p.m. Pacific time slot, so you can check those out. And, of course, tomorrow is Raw. And, as always, apparently they didn't listen to their own survey. We have no idea what's going on Raw tomorrow. We have no lineup. We have no matches. We have nothing leading into the WWE's big show of the week. So, I guess tomorrow we'll talk about something else, because I got nothing Raw-related to talk about. Of course, tonight, Vinny and I are going to be reviewing the NWA World Championship Wrestling show, as well as Ring of Honor. That's going to be up for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. And later on tonight, myself and Dave Meltzer are going to be talking all of the news from the weekend and not previewing Raw, and whatever other news is going on. Probably a lot about Conor McGregor and Jose Aldo. Dave is so excited for next week's show, he can hardly contain himself. That's coming up tonight as well for subscribers, WrestlingObserver.com. I want to thank Mike, as always, all the folks at Byline, all of the callers, listeners, texters, etc. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network.